There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy-Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Fams, we were going to do a breakdown of a bunch of different titles that are kind of doing the rounds. Go to Tsushima's Director's Cut, Aliens Fireteam Elite. You can go to the whatculture.com website and read Ben Roy's review of Aliens Fireteam Elite. But we thought we'd talk about the game that's starting to become more and more of a talking point in regards to being divisive, in regards to being controversial, in regards to being wacky AF, which is Luis Antonio's 12 Minutes, starring Daisy Ridley, Willem Dafoe, and James McAvoy. Now, this is a full-on spoiler cast. We're going to delve into all the reasons that a lot of people are, like I said, very much divided on this thing. And that comes down to a mix of gameplay stuff, different mechanics that are in there, and one very specific plot point that I think a lot of people just kind of can't get around that all. I don't even know what Ben Roy thinks of this particular plot point, but we're going to get to all that stuff. So consider yourselves very much informed that is what we're going to be talking about. Where do you guys want to start? Should we start comparing how we initially did first loops through the game, and then we'll get to the madness very soon?
How quickly until one of you stabbed your wife?
So I never did this. Like, I at no point did I cognizantly think that I should be abusing my own spouse to get through this game. I never did any of that stuff. But apparently that's a go-to thing you can do. I did try and kill myself a few times, try to stab my own dude, shot myself. That was how I reset the loop a few times. But Josh Brown, on the other hand, couldn't get enough of the stabs, couldn't get enough of the knives.
Well, that's my Valentine's
new single. Carry on.
We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it in more detail. But for me, right, that's the backbone of time loop stories. In every time loop story, whether it's an R-rated time loop story, whether it's PG, whether it's Groundhog Day, whether it's whatever, you always have a moment where the character kind of like loses himself to the insanity of everything that's going on and kind of goes down some very dark routes. So for me, after I'd thrown my head against the wall over and over again and done loop after loop after loop, I thought it only made sense for my character to go a little bit unhinged and start to do some pretty dark things in a desperate way, a desperate attempt to get out of it. And that led me personally to some of my favorite scenes in the game, when I did realize just how much the game lets you do and how dark it can get and how
they could be a lot of animations for lots of stabs and shooting and blood. It's a thing.
And then you get points after a while where McAvoy just respawns. It's like, that was fun. And you just like horribly murdered someone after a while. Like, it almost feels like it didn't record enough lines of dialogue, and some people are just a bit more blasé about it. Like, when you seem really super, sometimes you come back and you realize, all you did was walk through the door. And then another time you've killed someone and you've died and you're like, oh, well,
the first time that you see, because at one point you do have to hide in the closet because you do need to let your wife get killed quite a lot of times. But there is a very specific one where you do need to watch her get killed by Willem Dafoe's like policeman cop character so that she reveals a key piece of information, which pushes everything forward. So at some point you do need to watch her die, unless that's not true. I think that's true.
Ooh, see, I never watched the cop kill her.
Really?
Point, apart from when
you're too busy stabbing her yourself
first. Yeah. Because I never hid in the cupboard and watched her die. Like, if we ever died, it was always together or I killed her myself. it was a case of Willem Dafoe comes in and he kind of ties us up and she's kind of like pleading, and then he says, you know, where's the watch? And she's like, right, I'll give you the watch. And then as soon as she's about to say where it is, that's when he kind of like strangles the life out of my character. But I guess I guess we should structure this a little bit. We should go back to our first loops, because I think the first loop you do kind of informs a lot about the game, or at least it did for me, and it opened up these darker avenues away. So to just hog the spotlight for a minute, my first loop was a comedy of errors, and it completely endeared me to the game in a way that a lot of people might not experience. So the ideal way that you're supposed to play the first loop is that you come home from work, you sit down with your wife, you have this romantic dessert together, and then you get the knock on the door, then Willem Dafoe barges in, then things go to hell. For me, it went to hell more or less instantly. So I walk in, I give my wife a hug, I give her a little kiss, she says, hey, we've got a lovely romantic night planned, we've got some dinner in the fridge, why don't you help me set the table? And I'm thinking, this sounds really cool. So I set up the moat, set up the spoons. I didn't take the knife yet, funnily enough. I did take a spoon. I don't think you can kill her with a spoon. But I got to I'm not trying, to be fair, where she says, you know, let me know when the table's set, we'll have our meal. I didn't know I physically had to let her know. So I just sat down at the table and started scrambling away. And then she got really annoyed with me and stormed out the room to the bedroom. And I thought, oh no, I've completely messed up. So I follow her into the bedroom where she's reading the book, and she's very unresponsive. And she's like, I don't want to talk to you now. Like, you put me in a mood, you've ruined the night. And at that point, I think, you know what? Fair enough. I'm going to leave you in the dark. So I turn off the light and walk out of the room. She kind of says, really? She gets up, she goes over to the light switch, which I should add is faulty, and she got a shock from earlier. She flicks the light back on, zaps, and dies to death. So she's dead on the floor. I'm thinking, what the hell?
I can't believe if you did this in the first like 2 minutes, because that there's a whole other thing. I didn't even realize that that the light switch could kill someone until after about an hour in. So it's,
Literally the first thing I do. So I run into the room, and this all coincides. As soon as I run into the room and see that she's dead, I get the knock on the door. Willem Dafoe is there. He comes in. He's like, what the hell's going on here? Like, what's happened?
And then
I tried to fight him. He punched me. It reset. So I started on this kind of like really strange foot where things had already gone terribly wrong. But I'd learned a few pieces of key information, like you just said, like what the light switch does, how deadly it is, etc., etc. But that was my first run.
Yes. Okay, Ben Roy, what was your first loop? Do you remember that specific thing?
Just had dinner or dessert, and then found out about the pregnancy and everything like that. Mine was very simple. It was more when did any of you give your wife over to Willem Dafoe and just about, kill her, and then just leave the room? Because there's an option when he's on the floor, like, untie me, and then you're like, okay, mate, let's see what's going on. And then he's like, well, I tell you what, you go out there and I'll just sort out. And then he just bang, dead. And then he's like, you've got another chance at life. See you later. And then that's it. I was like, whoa.
Oh, no, I did. I triggered that in a different order where I didn't leave the room for it. But when you get him to be electrocuted and he says, hey, do you want to work with me? If you say yes, and he says, go and get something for him. And then when he gets back up, there's a little time window, because he nuts you. You can leave him handcuffed, but he gets back up. And then there's like a time window where you can work with him. But he still nuts you and kills you anyway, or he did with me anyway. But it must be said that there is, like, we're being quite flippant about it. And like, obviously it's kind of funny just in like through a video game lens of how ridiculous things are in regards to combining different items together and seeing what you can get away with. To me, like, there is a really weird macabre mentality at the heart of the game in as much as like, you know, like saying like, you have to experiment with how much you can kill your wife and different ways you can kill your wife and things like that, and stuff that I don't think the game pushes you towards does ultimately reward you for, because that's what you need to progress in the story. But I did have that. I never did any of the stuff with stabbing her or anything like that. And I thought it was weird that I had to use sleeping pills on her, Like when I found the sleeping pills in the cabinet, I was like, oh, I must have to use these on Willem Dafoe's character. So for the longest time, I was putting the pills in the mug of water and running up to him with a mug of water every time, going like, can you drink from this you do stuff, and then getting knocked out by him over and over and over again.
Can I stress about that mug of water and how many times, like, I was two frames off grabbing the mug or something, and then she just doesn't want that anymore. My wife has now had some water, and I've just got to go out the door now and restart. Just sometimes when I did something in the wrong order, like, bear in mind it's my fault, but it's like, I wish a mechanical thing with this game. I wish you could sort of almost like jump to certain points.
I wish there was a checkpoint.
I wouldn't mind if there was like the way it is, but also there's a more like they had a directed way where you start off at points where it's more like sort of quit back in, because after a while when I was, you get from experimenting to damn it, I should have just gone that way. But now I've got to go through the whole thing. Sorry, the whole thing again. Or Willem Dafoe's already getting up and now he's going to nut me. And because my character's just rubbish, I'm just going to get nutted and I've got to start the whole thing again. And I didn't shoot me. There were so many things where I really adore this game at certain points and other points, like mechanically and some of the way the lines are delivered. Just, I was like, can I just scratch my own face off and can this be done? And then you'll be like, oh, now it's progressing. This is actually really interesting. Oh, wait, this is really weird.
So I had a bit with the where I finally got, because like I said, an hour in was when I realized that there is a way to turn. Because the whole thing is, and again, I know, Josh, you subverted this by killing your wife a different way. But still, there is that way of you need to give her the sleeping pills so that she goes in the room, but not before you put the light on so that she turns the light off. So that when the cop comes into the room and puts the light back on, that it knocks him out or whatever. Like, figuring that out was like a weird step-by-step thing. And I know that you figured out a way to get to the light switch faster by just stabbing her first. And then that means that you can wait in the closet or you can bypass time. Dude comes in, flicks the light on, and he passes out. Or gets knocked out.
Don't forget, like other things, like, did you grab the phone tray? Make sure, sometimes you've got to leave the picture on the fridge, and if you don't, and then you've just ruined that
whole run stuff.
Like, and don't forget to shut the bathroom door, because if you're going down that vent when the bathroom door's open, game over again.
I had a whole thing where, that's what I was going to say, I finally got him on the ground, he was revealing all sorts of important information, and then I must have just maxed out the 12-minute thing, because then it just cut to the clock hitting the time, and then we went back to the start, and my dude just went, oh, I was in the middle of something. And I'm like, yeah, you were. Like, what was that? I think I mentioned this on the other podcast, but that level of like, you need to do this in this order or F you. And I was just like, this is horrible. And I also had the game crash on me when it was about to finally reveal a piece of information as well. I know that, Josh, you didn't have any of this, because I know your stuff was, it just seemed to go a lot smoother for you. But me and Ben Roy, I'm so glad someone else that I've talked to had the same response as me.
It's like, yeah, I understand exactly where you're both coming from. But like I kind of alluded to yesterday in the podcast we did, Scott, that I can thankfully go into more detail on here in terms of specific scenarios. Like, I thought it was annoying at times to have to go back, you know, when I was in the middle of a revelation, the time was up, or if I missed kind of one thing. But for me, I did enjoy ultimately knowing what I shouldn't have done in finding the most efficient way to get the most information out of these characters, you know, to realize that doing the sleeping pill thing would take a very long time. So instead, if I wanted to, I could just kind of stab the wife and then skip time, and that would get me to him coming in and zapping himself really quickly. And it's a very, very dark way to do that, but it was also an efficient way, which made me kind of think in terms of like the narrative it was trying to tell and the characters it was trying to tell, because I like that efficiency was tied to something extremely dark and extremely violent. So if you wanted to be a quote-unquote a better person and not result in a murder, you had to go through the extra lengthy process of putting the sleeping pills in the mug, setting down for dinner and stuff. And I like that was reflected through these extra steps that you could stick to if you were trying to play a good character, whereas my guy in my mind would have resorted to these absolutely violent things just for the sake of expediency. See, I thought that was quite interesting.
That if they had, because like Ben Roy said before, that like there are certain times when you restart the loop where your guy is like more out of it than before, and after you get certain big revelations, like the one we're about to, the big thing we're going to get onto, he's pushing his wife away, he's like, oh my god, he's like having a breakdown, and he's like, am I ever going to get out of this? If they tied that to like not beats in the main narrative in terms of main revelations, but a certain like behind the scenes morality meter or something, or because you're getting more comfortable, quote unquote, with butchering people, that means that your guy is losing himself to this like way of getting through it faster, but he is losing more of himself. And then that could have impacted one of the four endings, because they are almost moralistically framed endings anyway. And that would have been a way better way to go, I would have said, because I just think that the whole idea of like just becoming sort of au fait with killing your wife, I don't know if it's because I'm literally a married man, but at no point did that enter my mind at all. Like, I was not like, oh, this whole idea of like experimenting with ways I can abuse my wife to get through this story, I was just not thinking that way at all. And so that means I pretty much ruled out the wife altogether. Like I said, I wasted so much time with the sleeping pills and everything. And my first loop as well, I didn't mention before, was doing the dinner, was finding out about the pregnancy, was being in the middle of the dance when the policeman comes to the door. And then all that stuff happening, and then not like, and then I had the game glitched out and everything. But it's like, there's stuff like that where I'm like, I don't feel like the game does a very good job of really giving you an objective. It's more just telling you, it doesn't know what Yeah, you don't really know what you want. You just know what you don't want. And the only way you're told what you don't want is by resetting again. And I feel like stumbling around in the dark, trying to find the right path. It's just, for me, that was really grating. But I don't know if that's the same. I know, Josh, you didn't have that as much, but...
Yeah. Sorry, Ben Royal. I feel like I keep jumping in and speaking over you at the moment. But I was just going to say, yeah, for me, I'm kind of like on the opposite to you, which is why I'm excited to see where Ben Roy falls in it. Mm. Because that stuff, I can totally see it. I can totally understand the frustrations. But for me, that led to these moments of kind of creative experimentation where, you know, I was kind of trying one way over and over again and it wasn't working. So I just thought, right, let's see what I can do. Let's see if I can, you know, make the Willem Dafoe character, the cop character, go down. Maybe I can tie him up. Maybe if he breaks free, maybe I can stab him or shoot him in the leg and then interrogate him that way. And, you know, getting to that point where I was kind of like stuck on another puzzle, but I pivoted entirely to, you know, formulating this grand plan of getting him isolated and vulnerable so I could finally get some information out of him. When I finally pulled that off after a few attempts, like, I just thought that was, I felt so rewarded in my villainness.
I didn't even think of that. And then when that happened, I was like, oh, I guess this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I have no idea. I have no idea of what agency I'm supposed to have.
Well, this is it. I mean, like, if you're in that like mindset, if that happens to you, you're going to be annoyed. But if you're fortunate enough, I guess, lucky enough like me to stumble upon it naturally, it's like, it feels so rewarding. It feels so creative. It feels like I'm on the same mindset is the game, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Benroy, how did you find all that stuff?
For me, it was just something like, until I got the light switch going, until that I clocked that, I was starting to drag my feet and I was starting to question what I was doing myself and if I should be playing this. Yeah, and then it sort of like picks back up. But there's points, again, like, where if like, I wish you could jump back into things. Like, say, when you're having a conversation, you pick one thing, and then it's done. Then you've got to do everything again to get back to that conversation. Sometimes press just a different option. And like, and then sometimes there isn't. And sometimes you can, when you've stabbed or shot the fellow on the floor when he's tied up, hogtied or whatever, then you can get like things going and rolling. Or when you talk to the daughter on the phone and things like that. I feel like sometimes it's a very, I really like what they're doing, where it's like really dangerous, like if I mess it up. And also I wish there was like a rewind button quickly. And
actually, can I just pick a checkpoint or something?
Can I just quickly press the other button and see the other conversation rather than sort of like have to work to this point? Like, I really enjoy, I appreciate what it's doing. But I think I'm in the middle ground where it's just climbing back to that sort of section. You know what I mean? Like getting back there sometimes was a bit just wearing down in almost some respects. And some things like, wait a minute, I didn't store the number because I didn't call the number that time, or I didn't question someone about an auntie or a nanny, sorry. And then things like that, just again, for me, it was just.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I probably went about it wrong, but there was a bit too many times when I was resetting just to do like one little thing.
Well, looking at the general reception online, like that seems to be the case. Like you can stumble, because for me, there's I'm not lockstep with what the game wants me to think. Like I think it feels the same for you, Benroy, where it's like you're kind of just like, okay, like I guess I'll do all that again and hope that that leads to something else and maybe give me a few seconds of something. I didn't lockstep with the way that it wanted me to progress through stuff, but I feel like Josh, you kind of did, and I feel like they're almost like funneling you into that mindset of like, hey, you need to start thinking a bit more macabre. Like, what if you kill this person first, then this other thing can't happen and things like that. Whereas for me, I was like, oh, it's like this really like, you know, sort of quite gentle, basic couple. They felt quite generic as a couple. I was kind of surprised they got Daisy Ridley, James McAvoy, and then just got them to do generic American accents. They could have just been anybody.
I would never recognize that it was James McAvoy. No way.
Not at all. And then because of that setup and because it is so generic and like, hey, babe, let's have like food and stuff. And I was like, okay, like it's quite genteel that I was like, I'm not like thinking in that way at all. And I feel like that's one of the fundamental criticisms of the game. It's just the way that it doesn't implore like a general explorative mindset on you in a way that it can work. Obviously, Josh, you're proof that it can work, but I feel like it was just a weird thing. It was a weird way that it like matched up the way that I think they want you to play it, but then they don't really push you in that direction unless you happen to stumble upon that stuff.
And
I
feel like I was almost there, and then I will say like after I got hit credits, there's like credits two more times or something like that.
Four with the two.
And I did nothing was happening for me, so I did consult the YouTube gods. And there's a book sitting in a room, which I feel like Josh went through more of it. So he finished it more and more than me. So that he explained that room. But I couldn't click on the book. He was just like, oh, books he reads. And I was like, so I've missed one line of dialogue in the entire thing.
That was the thing.
I play for 5 hours and I can't get through it. And to that point, I was like, well, I've had credits now once. I'm classing myself as beating this. And I had to sort of like, for the first time, I'm like, not rage quit, but just step out like,
there needs to be another word for
and
just all
that. Doesn't help that the guy looks like Jaws sometimes as well. And when I saw that beard and the bald head, I was like, it's just Jaws torturing me in this room forever. And then they kind of like threw me out of the moment.
Let's move into endgame stuff, because the biggest twist in the game, there's a whole load of stuff with Willem Dafoe's character and the fact that you use Willem Dafoe to also be your wife's father, which is a series of scenes that are kind of flashbacks, but are kind of in the dude's mind. The big twist, though, is the fact that your wife is... What a sentence to say in 2021. Your wife is actually your sister. That's a nice big twist. Because your wife's father had an affair with the nanny. Turns out the nanny was called Dahlia, which is the name of your soon-to-be baby. And then that's the whole thing, that you actually were responsible for your wife's father's murder, but you're the son of the nanny. So your dude just forgot or was repressing the fact that he'd killed his own father, which was also your wife's father. And then we get this sort of like series of reveals that you can trigger. There's three or four. They're almost like therapy style scenes, but they're just between like you, James McAvoy's character. That's another thing, is that they're all just called husband, wife, cop. Between that dude and Willem Dafoe also playing the father, which means that in the game itself, the cop is like a manifestation of the father and rule sets and the way they're supposed to be. Because one of the final choices that you make is either you stay with your, you stay in the incestuous sister-wife relationship, or you reject it and you get a hug from Willem Dafoe. Or like Benroy said, you can click on the book that your wife was reading the whole time and you can say this one line about how, like, if we all just get stuck in the present, we never realize the future or something about that. And that's another secret ending.
And I've read that book, but I'm so angry that I just couldn't get there and I had to sleep, man. But I couldn't trigger that book and then, like, because I was wondering what was going wrong. Am I missing something in this room? And I was clicking all around and you can't pause it when you're in that room either. It's just going and you've got to go sort of thing. And also at some point, the character can have hair or not. It can be both versions, which is also another confusing thing.
Apparently that's a bug, but I've not seen that proven yet, but apparently that's a bug that the hair isn't loading. But that absolutely threw me off because I was like, well, that's Willem Dafoe again. But Benroy, what was your reaction to the sister twist?
I didn't take it in at first because I was like, this isn't happening. And as I fell more into the plot and I find out Defoe's daughter has cancer and they want to steal the watch for that, I was like, this is actually, and then when it changes from wife to her, I was like, oh, okay. Then I appreciate a nice twist and I was very sort of like, I don't feel like, maybe I just sort of like was blasé with it. So it didn't like sort of, I mean, not blasé about that, but it didn't sort of hit, and then it slowly sort of simmered in me, and then it built more and more up. But at that point, I was always telling wife to go away so I can quickly get back to the mug anyway. So, but yeah, I think I need to sit down and watch an ending explain video or listen to Josh do an ending explain here. But it sort of like hit me for a bit, and I was just like, how do we escape this cycle of? And is this actually even real? Like, I wasn't even sure if this is a different reality at that point.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Josh, you can elaborate a bit more now that we're talking about full spoiler stuff. What was your reaction to that thing? And what's your general thoughts on the narrative overall?
Well, this is it, right? Like, I'm going to be a defender of this game, you know, mechanically. Like, for the first few hours, I really loved where it was going. I never got stuck in a way that was frustrating. I feel like I was encouraged to experiment. I got a lot out of it, but I don't think it's an amazing game. I think it's a good game. But it's not the game I wanted it to be, and I don't think it's the game it could be. And I think a lot of that comes from this big twist, because it does kind of just fall apart at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's an impactful twist on the surface. You know, it's visceral, it's obviously very dark, it's very twisted, it gets you. But I don't know if it's earned, and I don't know if it's narratively satisfying, especially
I didn't feel
the
anything.
Stuff.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I didn't feel anything.
Never
I felt
really
more...
goes anywhere with her slash wife.
Yes, no. Totally. And I felt more what Benroy was saying when you were finding out about the cop and you were finding out about Bumblebee, his daughter, and why he's doing what he's doing. And I even thought it potentially maybe robbed some of the agency from the wife herself, because I thought one of the interesting mysteries throughout the narrative was whether or not she actually killed her father, because there's a few times where you think, oh, she's definitely done it, then you kind of like go back to think, no, she maybe didn't, then you're like, oh, maybe she did, and then ultimately it's like, oh no, you didn't, you weren't there, you literally weren't there. And I thought to kind of like remove that from the equation entirely, almost, to put everything back on the guy and have it be kind of his memories have gone, he's gone out with his sister, he's got her pregnant, and I just kind of thought that it was pulpy and it was exciting, but it wasn't smart and it wasn't satisfying. And I do think towards the end as well, like we said, with the ambiguity and the making Willem Dafoe play two characters and having them kind of like look the same but also not, and having you try to pass that out, I don't think the pieces were there to pass it as they wanted it to be. I was the same with Roy. I kind of got parts of the ending, but even I had to look up some explanations afterwards, you know, and I did almost everything. And I was like, I don't know what this all means, really. I don't know what it all means. But
the biggest problem I have with it is that, like, yeah, I didn't feel anything. I found the couple to just be incredibly generic. And I thought that, like, that's a separate thing, how much I think they waste the talent they have. Willem Dafoe is brilliant, but I think they waste McAvoy and Ridley entirely. But my biggest problem was that I didn't feel like it was actually about anything. It didn't really land anything. And I feel like the twist works on a base level of just like, oh my, like, you could write down on a napkin, you could find a napkin somewhere that just said, oh my, but turns out my wife's my sister. You're like, oh, that's a thing, isn't it? Like, that's a reaction to that. But by the time I got to the end, like I said, it didn't mean anything in the moment other than face value, shock value. And as much as I think it's trying to be a dissection of, well, I think I'm giving it too much credit. I feel like it's trying to comment on trauma, because the whole thing, you think about like the fact that when you find the watch at the end, it takes McAvoy's character back into the therapy that he was being given, or the hypnotism he was being given. And that's the thing that roots him in that moment, because he looks at the clock on the wall. And so everything that happened in the game is all in his mind, and everything is a manifestation of the reality that he went through before he was under hypnotism. And so, like, obviously, like I said, the cop is, a representation of the father, the restrictions, the way he's supposed to be, the fact that he's not supposed to be with his sister, and that stuff. And then, but the whole thing with Bumblebee and the cancer and the treatment on that side, it kind of loses me with that. And it also loses me just on a base human level, where I don't buy that this guy would be remotely okay with butchering his wife over and over again. Not to make that like the stickler point, but that for me doesn't translate overall. It doesn't really make sense that this guy wouldn't be breaking down more. All that stuff, I think it doesn't come together at all.
Well, it feels it feels like a 12-page book rather than like a novel. It feels like you've got these points and they're like going bam, 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 bam. But like if this was like a longer game or a book or a film, that you might be able to have more flashbacks to what was going on outside of this room and this cycle. Because I feel like it's more like the mystery. And then this happens, but nothing else around it. And I feel like there's not enough meat to bring to it. Like this could work. And I'm into it, like sort of like, as I've said, twists that just go left turn. And then, by the way, you're marrying your sister and you're going to have a kid with her. But I would have liked more, or maybe more about wife or her and sort of things like that, more than, I feel like she's the least explored in a way. And
she's it was prop, more like totally.
Yeah, she's the prop, just the point of the plot, and never really, even when you do have these long conversations and she can take control of points, it still, it still comes down to like not much in my eyes. Like, and I wish I could have found out more about like about him. Is it him he's called? Is it?
They don't really have names. Apparently, if you go in the PC version, hack the files, they have names in the file types, but that's it.
I wish you could find out like just how this trauma happened. Like there's so much more. Like just it seems like that, and then as you said, a bit of napkin and then go, and then just not giving up enough time. And I guess it's called 12 minutes. Well, but at the same time, it's like
one of the quick thing for me is that it felt like I laughed when I found out the sister twist thing. I just laughed. I was like, okay, this is like the only thing you could write if you had three characters in three rooms and you had to keep thinking of escalating twists. Like you can't, there's not much else you can do. Like you can make it so it's in someone's mind and you can make it so they're all related. It just made me go like, okay, like, yep, that was what you had access to and that's what you did. And it doesn't really make any sense. And it's kind of just shock value for shock value's sake. But I don't feel anything because none of the actual narrative, emotional, human groundwork was done before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of want to go back to what you said about like trauma, Scott, and I kind of thought that as well before that twist came. I thought the narrative material there was far more resonant and far more nuanced than what we ultimately got, you know, whether it was why the cop was doing what he was doing. I thought, you know, it was a really interesting story about the wife thinking that she's killed her father, her whole relationship with her father, like he hit her the last time. You know, they saw each other. She'd never been hit by him before. She had this fraught relationship with him because her mom died. You know, he was cheating on her mom with the nanny and all that stuff. Then you were kind of in the middle of it as an almost outsider. And I thought that was an interesting perspective because then you kind of had to decide whether to, you know, stick with her after you find out this, that she's been lying to you, or whether you should, be on her side, or whether you should turn her into the cop and stuff like that. But all of that kind of gets diminished and minimized as soon as you find out that they are exactly what you were saying, just all props in this dude's head, and it's all about him. And that was disappointing to me, and it kind of made me view stuff like killing her over and over again in a more negative light, because in the moment I thought it was actually quite well done. You know, the first time you do kill her, like you have to get through a few barriers, you know, you click it and never go, he says to himself, yeah, he's like, right, if you do this, you're literally a killer, like you're never going to come back from this. And he's kind of shaking and you have to like force through that barrier. And I thought that was like an interesting thing, but then it just sort of became weird when you were doing it over and over again and the wife's agency in the narrative was minimized so much and her real trauma was kind of pushed away in favor of this spectacular thing about the guy marrying his brother. And I just kind of thought, well, now she is just a prop, and now it does feel weird to be treating her and the other characters, but specifically her, in that way. And it kind of just lost that nuance for me, man.
Like, yeah, That's what I mean, is like, how far into a playthrough were you starting to kill her? Like, I feel like, I'm not to play armchair game writer, but I just feel like if they built to that, where like the rejection of him realizing he can't be with her is for him to actually kill her to free himself of that cycle or something, would have worked better as a manifestation of what he's going through in real life, his actual thought process on her and everything. But I think you can kill her straight away if you want to. You just drag the knife over her as early as you want.
And I think that might be like incongruous at the start when you think he's a good dude, but I feel like it's not as much of a problem when you find out the twist and you realize that he is, at least in his mind, capable of this stuff. Like, he's capable of killing a person and then forgetting about it. So I thought, well, if he could do that, he's probably got it in him to be this sicko who kills his wife as well. And that kind of made narrative sense to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered the killing before, like the light switch and things like that. It was one after about four loops when I felt like I was getting into a wall for a bit and I wasn't like probably thinking about it well enough. And I was just like, let's see what happens, stabby stab. And then from there, and I've tried to use the knife on Defoe and you can never really get him. He's just like invincible. But there's other points when you sort of like, she takes sleeping pills and Defoe is on the floor tied up. Like, there's no point where she can wake up from that, I don't think.
No.
Even like your character can sort of like super wake up, and I know it's all about that character again, but I was like, what would happen if she ever saw him in a moment of vulnerability? Like, how would she treat the cop then? Would she just go for the gun and pop him in the back of the head or stuff like that? Because he so maliciously would always ruin her unless you bring four or five elements into the sort of mix. But yeah, it's just it for me at the end of the day, I was into the themes and I wish it was more executed well. And I wish that mechanically it wasn't so sort of like stodgy and getting to each point each time. And I wish I could sort of like just get back to the meat of the bone rather than you sort of like, you know, skirt around things and fill up mugs every time just to get her in bed and sleeping.
Yeah, I think if they let you burn one checkpoint per loop, just sort of one point where the character could say, like, I remember this or something, and then you could jump to that point, like, you know, like Skate 3 style, because I'm playing a lot of Skate 3. Let me put a marker down and go back to that thing. That might have saved a lot of the tedium, because you do realize ways you can jump through it. Like, the game doesn't really instruct you that well that you should bounce everything off your wife all the time, every piece of new information, go back to her, talk to her, and that's the way that you speed up the whole, I know this is a loop, I'm convincing you thing. But even then, you know, 10 plus loops in, you're buttoning through that same conversation over and over and over again. There's no way to jump through it. And I think I think ultimately playing through 6 to 8 to 10 minutes of a game for 30 seconds of or whatever of new content for me completely ground me down. My closing thoughts on it are that I love that it exists. I'm so glad something like this can exist in the current industry, and especially with the talent involved and the budget that's behind it. But it was a slog getting through it. The more I think about it, the more I don't think any of it really works. And so I'm kind of just sitting there going like, well, I'm glad I played through it, but that was kind of a thing. Josh, what's your closing thoughts?
Essentially just echoing what I said like a little while ago, where I think it's good, but I don't think it's amazing. It's not the game I bought an Xbox Series X in part for, you know, it's not worth that.
But would you recommend people play it, I guess, is another thing to roll in as well.
I definitely think so. Because, I mean, we've spoiled it all now. I hope they don't watch this and then go play.
No,
it
but for
that
other people
would be
to
useless.
Recommend it, yeah.
But yeah, if you don't know anything about it, I do think the sense of discovery going into it is incredibly unique. You know, I mean, I was talking to you yesterday, Scott. Like, I've played 3 time loop games so far, and this is the only one that makes you feel like you're in the time loop. It makes you feel like you're replaying the same thing over and over again. And to a lot of people, that's going to be just frustrating and time-wasting, and you're not going to feel the reward of that 30 seconds. But for me, it made me role-play, it made me immersed, and it put me in the headspace of the character and the desperation of the character in a way that the other time loop games hasn't. So I do love it for that. I just don't think it comes together into a satisfying whole. But fortunately, it's not that long. It's just a shame that it's much sillier and not as smart as it is being marketed as. You know, I think my ultimate takeaway from it, it very much feels like a game that was originally made in 2015 and then got delayed and delayed and delayed. It feels, story-wise especially, like a relic from then. It doesn't feel as mature or as considered as a lot of game stories are now.
I think I get the David Cage comparisons, like that it feels a lot like a sort of David Cage short story, where it's sort of like a M. Night Shyamalan style twist. Like, what's the wackiest thing we can throw in here, considering what we have in front of us? And it's just such a mixed bag. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. Full spoilers for this game. Let's talk about all the ridiculous stuff that's out there, because we continue to be baffled by this thing. But we'll see how we go going forward. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
There's another time loop game on Game Pass, and it's called Quantum Break. Go and play that one.
There's another one from this year called Overboard. Go and play that. Also, Josh Brown.
Go play The Forgotten City. That's the best one I've played this year. That's really enjoyable.
And we'll throw Returnal in the pot. We will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.